Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, dear Lord God, to hear from heaven. These great people did not come to hear from me, they came to hear from you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for a word in season, for them that may be weary, that my teaching this morning is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and the manifestation of your spirit and of power. Father, I thank you, and your word will not return to you void. It shall accomplish that which you please. And I thank you, Lord, we will receive your engrafted word with meekness. We will mix it with faith, and we will bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain. I pray not only for our congregation, but our friends right next door, Pastor John Boss, Father. Bless Corona Friends, dear Lord God. Father, bless North Point, Father God. Bless Crossroads this morning. Bless Connection Church in Pastor Jeremy's absence, Father God. Bless Corona Church of the Open Door, Father God. We pray for Corona AME. We pray for the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, the Episcopalian Church, dear Lord God. The Korean Church, Father God, the Spanish-speaking Church, pour your spirit out upon us today, dear Lord God. Bless Corona, and we pray specifically for the 90,000 that live here that don't know you. We thank you for their salvation. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me. These are four core values, please. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
And I will serve.
And so today we're going to start a new series called Eyesight. Eyesight. Living in the unseen. Living in the unseen. Now, scripture text is this, 2 Corinthians 4:18, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. I want to read that again. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Amen. Some of us can't say that because we got our eyes fixed on what we can see.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got that bill that you can't pay laying out on your nightstand right now.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Like Paul, he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. I like to pretend he's writing a letter to the church in Corona. So instead of the Corinthians, he's writing to the Coronians. Amen? Okay, so Coronians, we need to fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. How can I look at something I can't see? For the things we see now will soon be gone. Every problem you've ever faced, those nights you set up and you thought it was all over, and look at you, you're here now.
Amen.
See, the thing that we fail to understand is those problems, those are temporary. The things that on this planet, they're temporary. Say temporary.
Temporary.
They're temporal. They're going to pass. They're going to change. It's going to shift. Things change. You grow up. Your kids grow up. Things move. It shifts. Things don't last here in this physical world. In the spirit world where God lives, things are eternal. Now, I've said it before, but I remember when I was a little boy, we moved to California. And my mom wanted to go back and see her mother, my grandmother, so we would drive from California back to Louisiana. And I would get excited driving through California. That was great. Arizona, hallelujah, New Mexico, cool. And then we entered El Paso, Texas. Got to El Paso, all right, one more state. But Texas is an eternity. Now, so when we think of eternity, we think of something perpetual, ongoing, never ending, just, oh, Lord, okay. But that's not the correct meaning of eternity. Eternity actually means the absence of time. Time doesn't exist. Time is a physical property that God created and then placed us in it. Need you to hear me. And we think linearly. It's just automatic with us. But the spirit world is, the physical world we live in is a subset of the spirit world. This is subordinate to the spirit realm. The spirit realm is the real world. Let me tell you, the Bible says in John 4, God is a
spirit.
Okay, thank you. Hebrews 1:14 says angels are ministering, demons are unclean. Okay, and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul is closing out that letter. He says this, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. So we are made up of three parts. I don't have a spirit. I am a spirit. Because when my, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what part of me is absent from the body? It's my spirit. Jesus hung on a cross in Luke 23:46, and he said this, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." They took his body, put it in a tomb, but his spirit went on. You understand that? Okay, so that's why when we talk about God, it has no beginning and no end. Or he can see the end from the beginning. He's outside of time. Now, if you're still struggling, let me ask you, does God have a problem with gravity? He's not bound by gravity. Okay, you understand that concept. Understand he's not bound by time. Because a thousand years to us is as a day to the Lord. Now, for you, sometimes it seems like this is never ending. For God, is like a blink. It's a blink. Your life is like grass. It's a vapor. And so what happens, we put so much energy and effort into this life. Now, what happens, because the superior world is the spirit realm, and we're spirit beings, we need to tap into the spirit world. And I'm going to tell you, when you learn to tap into it, it's going to make things so much better down here for you. He will guide you with his eye. You will be able to hear him more clearly. And a lot of the situations you're encountering is because you're just not in tune to what he's doing. And when God is inviting you somewhere, often we're in rebellion to it, and it's the direction he's calling us to go in, and you decide to sit back because you want to play it safe, and you wonder why 5-10 years from now everything is still like it was 5-10 years ago. You've been praying for your deliverance. You've been praying for your breakthrough. He opens up a door. You won't step through it. And I'm talking myself into that. Hallelujah. I know the members, y'all are like, what is he talking about? I was just asked to do something that's bigger than I've ever done in my whole life. You know, Bishop Ed said, hey, I want to anoint you, consecrate you as bishop. You got these churches you're overseeing. I was no problem. But somebody came with something bigger than that, and it's like, okay. I got out the shower this morning. I told Jack, I said, hey, babe, I'm still processing. Okay, I got my answer. Okay, hallelujah. All right. All right. Amen. Amen. I remember a young man, Milo used to say, don't just talk about it, be about it. All right. So this is funny. He does have a sense of humor. Okay. Had a young man down in Brazil, and he's a fireball from you. Where's he? Uganda? I forgot where he's from. And I met him. I was doing a leadership conference down there a few years ago. And he shared with me and says, Pastor, I'm so afraid. I said, man, just do it afraid. It's so easy to preach stuff to other people. My responsibility as your pastor, I want you to see clearly, okay? I want you to see clearly. And when I say see clearly, it's not just stop laughing, the elders. I had a special elders meeting. Was that Friday night I called you guys? I had to call you, like, hey. Anyway, I called you. I called some pastors. Okay, anyway. Hallelujah. So, okay, where are my notes? Okay. Let me have a picture up, please. Okay, here's the thing. Many of us, when we're looking outside, when we look through life, if you can imagine looking through a dirty glass, you can't see clearly. Sometimes you get in your car, and if you hadn't washed it, and then it rained the night before, you got to turn your wipers on in the morning, you got to see. And once you get that away, you can see clearly. And that's what a lot of time troubles do to us. And so trouble and difficulties and insecurity and doubt and all that stuff comes up, and rejection, and then you don't see clearly. You begin to believe something, and it just clouds you. And then what we do is we forget that on the other side of that, there's a sun is shining. The lights are green. You got the, what's that, a monopoly? You get the pass, go, you get all that. And we forget and we get stuck. Now, I want to look at you. We're going to go look at the Old Testament for a moment. Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, what I want to do is lay a foundation today, because we're going to really talk about the spirit realm probably all the way into November, okay? And I recognize that for many of us, what happened is that you got baptized, and if you grew up Baptist like I did, that was the whole thing. That's why we call Baptists, focus on baptism. You get baptized, And then we think, okay, that's it. Okay, I'm baptized, I'm good, and I get to go to heaven. Most of the sermons I heard preached, things I heard taught was about heaven. But then I'm like 10, 12 years old. I'm going to be on this planet another 70, 75 years. How about helping me deal with this? If God wanted me to stay in heaven, he'd have kept me there, but he put me here. I need direction for here. So then later, I find out about the Holy Spirit, which I was told that ended in the, went out with the apostles. No, it didn't. And so one day in the office, I get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I start to speak in tongues. And that, like, freaked me out. I called a Baptist pastor that I knew and said, hey, I'm about to go to the Sheikah. And he's like, okay, Tony, it's okay. I said, what do you mean it's okay? You and my daddy and others, you know, well, not him, but others, they said, and this was Old Testament. He said, Tony, I speak in tongues. I said, you do? And he really began to break it down for me. What happens is, remember I said you are a spirit? When you pray in tongues, it's your spirit that's praying. That's, and then what happens, people, I don't know what I'm saying. You don't know a lot of stuff. That ain't stopped you. You don't understand a combustible engine. You don't understand fuel injection. You don't understand a compression ratio in an engine. You don't understand it. But you get in and turn that bad boy on and put it in drive, don't you? So the thing is when you're praying in tongues, it's your spirit that's praying. Read 1 Corinthians 14. And the flip side is true, too. If you don't pray in tongues, your spirit is not praying. Now, the reason you want to be spirit-filled and have your spirit praying is because, one, the Bible says pray without ceasing. And I've learned, sometimes I sit up and pray in English, and after about 10 minutes, I don't know what else to pray about. That'll be later on. We'll get more into that. But we got a situation here. 2 Kings 6, 8, 18, and this Old Testament, okay? Now, we have the king of Aram and the king of Israel. Israel and Aram, they're fighting, okay? And so we're going to pick this up, and it's about the prophet Elijah. And so verse 8, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, like any good, you know, army leader would, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. Verse 9, but immediately Elijah, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize the troops there. Now, see, Elijah was in tune with the spirit realm. You guys are the business people. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody to tap into the spirit realm and really help you with your business when it's time to make your decisions? Go left, go right. My wife and I have a prophet. She lives on the East Coast. Now, this ain't this like, you know, 1-800, call a prophet, get your future. Or www.prophet.com. This is a woman that hears clearly. And major decisions, we've learned to talk to her. Seriously, you need somebody to hear it clearly. We got to be sensitive to the spirit realm, okay? Verse 10, so the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he would be on alert there. So we talk about government. This wasn't even in my notes, but here it is. The king who's running things is being influenced by the man of God. Yeah. This is biblical. What happens, too, is that we begin, and I'm not just elevating this, the office of the prophet. We were down in Brazil, you know, was it 2 weeks ago? And so we had a morning devotion. And right at the end, there was a young lady sitting there, and I don't remember exactly how it went down, but I remember sitting there, and we had a group, just our group, a group from L.A. and a group from Baltimore, or D.C., and it was 30 of us, right? At least it was about 30-some of us down there. And so morning devotion. And I knew, and this is what I learned too. See, when like you said this morning, there's a sweet spirit. What happens is the spirit begins to hover. And some of you will sense something. Because I sensed the two sitting there, and I'm just kind of waiting for somebody to say something. Because what happens is you're kind of like, well, I don't know, can I say something? If the spirit is touching your heart, yeah. But so down in Brazil, I sensed, and I said, oh, man, I'm waiting for somebody to say something. Nobody's saying anything. Now, I'm Pastor Tony. I'm trying not to always be domineering and in the lead and all that. You got to raise up leaders. Sometimes it means I got to step back. I'm waiting. And the meeting was about to be closed out. And I said, hold on a second. I said this. I looked around. I said, who got a word from God for the lady? I can't think of her name. For the lady. I'm going to just say Joyce. Who got a word for Joyce? 5 people raise their hand. And that happens even in here. And that stirring you feel sometimes, you got to trust that. And yes, sometimes you might be a little incorrect, a little bit off, but you just like, it's like with a baby. Even, you know, the baby is still learning to talk. And we did a FaceTime with my granddaughter last night. I hadn't seen her like in a week and a half. I said, let me talk to her. She gets on and she's talking, and probably about 20%, I didn't know what she was saying. But as she gets older, she gets better as she works it. So it's the same thing here. This is a safe environment. Nobody's going to kick you to the curb. Or you ain't heard from God. You will not be embarrassed from this pulpit. I'm not that kind of guy. I want you to grow and become all God created you to be. And so we need to move to this new level, if you would. We got a prophetic word. I got a prophetic word one time about the prophecy wants to go throughout the camp here at New Day. And God needs to be able to speak, so I need to teach you so you'll understand that. That's what this is all about, okay? Verse 11, the king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? Well, see, that's natural level thinking. He's just thinking down here, somebody got to be dropping a dime on me. It has to be. We got a traitor. See, he's not in tune that there's a spirit, there's a God in a spirit world. Do you understand? He's just down here. Now, he's a king. He's all that. He's risen up good. He's all successful. But I want you to see something. There are people in America that have big houses, big cars, big bank accounts, go to fancy vacations, but can't even spell Jesus. And what happens? We look at them like they all that because they got some stuff. All you need is a down payment and good credit. You can get yourself some stuff. Stop celebrating people because they got stuff. You've got a chance between God and some stuff. Get you God. They're always making new stuff. Have you noticed that? Went to car, get my car, you know, the service on my car. And so then, you know, I got to drive around. So they give me a loaner car. And of course, they give me the newest model. And it has some more bells and whistles. You ain't sucking me into buying this. How'd you like the car, Miss Dunn? Oh, it's nice. Get my car. See ya. Stuff. Verse 12. It's not us, my lord the king, one of the officers replied. Elijah, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Tell me God doesn't know everything. And that's why I'm going to tell you something. We were talking about integrity earlier. I purpose to live my life righteously and holy. See, and I'm going to tell you, it's not just because I'm around y'all. He and his wife. Even when I ain't around her. Because I always think God is sitting right here on my bed. So whatever I'm watching on TV, he's watching on TV. Whatever's on my computer, he sees them on my computer. Whatever's on my, I ain't playing that. I'm just not going out like that. I ain't doing it. And you say, well, he's so holy. No, I just made a decision. It's not that deep. So here we go, verse 13. Go and find out where he is. Now, that's dumb. Oh, like he ain't going to see you coming. Verse 13. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. They just told you he knows everything you're doing. But whatever. And the report came back, Elijah's at Dothan, okay? And that's a city, a community. Okay, verse 14, watch this. So one night, he's going to go at night, like that's going to, like, whatever. So one night, the king of Aram sent, now watch this, a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. He sent many. Say many.
Many.
Okay, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God, that's Elijah's servant, okay, got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elijah. Now, this helps me. We are called to raise up people. And sometimes you have somebody raising up, they don't see like you see. Now I'm gonna help with something else too. So you guys are gonna choose a mentor or somebody to be up under, make sure they can see. Blind leading the blind. Okay. Also, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elijah. Now watch Elijah's verse 16. Don't be afraid. Now here's the thing. This is the thing I mentioned earlier about fear. Fear stagnates. Fear causes you to hesitate. And anytime you operate in fear, it's something you're afraid of losing. Fear is always rooted in loss. It's something you're afraid you're going to lose. It could be lose face. It could be embarrassment, lose a position, lose a loved one. It's always about loss. Don't be afraid, Elijah told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Now, I need you to see something in this verse right here. There are more on our side. Now, you look around. Okay, it's the Aramean army all around, okay? Many troops, chariots, and horses. The man is looking around. The man can see. But he's looking in the physical realm. And Elijah says, don't worry about that. There's many more. That word more there is actually many, like a multitude, like much, like exponential. And he says that there's more, watch this, they're more on our side than on theirs. So now I need you to see something. They have somebody on their side too. They got somebody from the spirit realm on their side also. And you think just because they look good and got a suit on, that they're not demonically led or demonically inspired. Satan himself, they're transformed into ministers of light. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outside. And people come in and all suave and endeavor now. What did Billy D. Williams say about that malt liquor? Don't let the smooth taste fool you. Young people are like, what's malt liquor? You don't need to know. Let the hood stay in the hood. My Compton pastors, hey, we still good. But Elijah said, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Now, wait, what did Elijah know that they didn't know, that the man didn't know? And ask yourself, who is on your side? Who is for you? Who is your rear guard? Who is in camp round about you? Who is greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? And if he is for you, who can be against you? Who is your daddy? Who do you belong to? You can't be, so you go with your coworkers. Why do y'all let your coworkers drive you crazy? Another message. Verse 17. Then Elijah prayed. That's what I wanted to get to. Then Elijah prayed, oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The man saw. He saw all the troops. He could see all the horses and chariots. He saw that. He saw in the physical. Elijah, like, servant, you got to tap into the spiritual. That's the dominant world. See, we can't look at what we currently see. Because, see, what we currently see is going to change. That's why you don't want to put all your stock in this. This is going to go away. Yeah. We sell our soul for some temporary stuff. Yeah. Stop doing that. Yeah. Grieves me. Open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw. And this is a different kind of scene. He saw. Now, I want you to see something. He saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and what? What kind of chariots? Oh, see, the other dude just had chariots. I got some fire on my chariots. My chariots bigger and better than your chariots. This is sad, but I'm going to tell you. It's wrong. I just thought of it. One night in Compton, I had a Mustang 5.0. Me and my little brother, I don't know, we was one night. Pull up to a light, and there's nothing ahead of us, and a guy had Trans Am, red Trans Am. Looks over at me. He got four guys in the car. He goes, whoom, whoom. I look at my brother. Is he serious? Put my car in first. Mm. Mm. Looking. Light turned green. I smoked him. I knew what was in my engine. And I knew what was in his. He didn't know. I read the car magazines. I knew the outcome was going to be before we even, it's like, is he foolish? In fact, I saw his whole front end in my rearview mirror. It wasn't even close. My God has chariots of fire. You don't want to mess with him. Why are we going to continue to drive a little Trans Am when you can have your Mustang 5.0? Y'all pray for me. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you.